British Columbia now has confirmed 24 cases of new Omicron subvariant known as Kraken to date, making up roughly 5 to 6% of all genome sequenced samples in the province. Announcement was made today by Health Minister Adrian Dix and Provincial Health Officer Dr. Bonnie Henry, who joins us now. Dr. Henry, thank you for speaking to us today.
Good afternoon.
I listened to the press conference, and it seems to me overall that we are in a good space when it comes to the respiratory season at this time.
I think I would agree with you there. We've made it through the peak of what we saw was a very early and unusual influenza season. We still have a lot of COVID out there, and we still have a lot of respiratory illness out there, but it's not causing the severe illness that's putting that big strain on the healthcare system.
Mm-hmm. In the issue of Kraken that I had just mentioned in the opening, how much of that concerns you in regards to the 24 cases? How much of a concern is that?
You know, and I know it's easy for people to remember a name like Kraken, but I think we also need to remember this is not some mythical sea monster that has magical powers. It's yet another subvariant of Omicron. And so it is concerning. We've been watching, we've been doing whole genome sequencing, and there's about 40, 45 different subvariants that are out there causing illness across British Columbia. The one that's causing most illness, that's over 90-some percent, is one called BQ1.1. And so that's a subset of what we're seeing, and you know, a very small number, so 24 whole genome sequencing. So that's the only way we can tell the difference between these different subvariants. So it's a very small percentage of what we're seeing. Obviously, we're watching it because it's caused some rapid increase in illness in places, particularly in places with lower vaccination rates, but in the U.S. But I think it's really important to know that any new variant that spreads more easily will be the most infectious one that we've seen to date, by definition. But there's no evidence that this subvariant is causing more severe illness.
Mm-hmm. So the bigger concern is in the U.S. at this point when it comes to Kraken.
It is, and where we're seeing it increase quite rapidly. It's across Canada. It's still a very small percentage of what we're seeing, and very small percentage of what we're seeing here in BC.
Is it fair to say there's been an uptick in regards to the virus with young kids? And I'm going to assume that's because they're just out meeting people and perhaps they haven't seen some of their friends for a long time, that there is a bit of an uptick with young kids?
In terms of COVID, we're actually seeing decreases across the board, mm-hmm. Primarily because of vaccination. But we do see lots of respiratory viruses causing illness in children. And yes, they're very highly connected, and so are young adults with children. They're the people who have the most interactions, whether it's at work and with their children, and social connections and social networks as well. So there has been quite a lot of RSV, influenza, some COVID, but also what we're seeing more than anything is a bunch of other cold viruses as well.
Mm-hmm. I just want to focus on COVID just for a second. There have been some folks who have been talking about still wanting mask mandates, that they feel that the province has moved too quickly in regards to opening up workplaces, opening up society. What would you say to that argument?
Yeah, you know, mask mandates are, again, one of those heavy tools that's very broad. And we are at a place where we have a lot of protection. We've built these defenses primarily through vaccination and having that level of immunity that it doesn't, we're not in a place that requires us to have these very broad mandates and measures across the board. And I also would suggest that is a single measure is not going to make, it's not going to have a marked difference above the protection that we have from immunization, from people who've had some hybrid immunity from vaccination and prior infection, and all of us doing those simple things that we can do ourselves to help prevent transmission to others.
I guess one could argue China's zero COVID policy is an example of you know, just mask themselves and just zero tolerance for anything, and at the same time keeping people indoors and you know, in many cases infringing on their civil liberties is an example where zero COVID and continually masking doesn't necessarily work either.
Well, exactly. And sadly, it also has had a very detrimental impact on people's health and wellness. We know mental health issues, people have challenges getting food, all of those connections that we need to have with each other to support each other as families and communities. So it has had very negative health impacts as well. So, and as the virus changed and as immunity built in our community so that we have that protection, those types of extreme measures are no longer needed. And the negative impacts that they have are really important.
Mm-hmm. My final question to you, you've been on, you know, front and center when it comes to COVID, the respiratory season as well. How are you able to stay positive with, one would argue, relentless criticism in an era where everybody has an opinion and everybody seems to be an expert due to Google or Facebook and everything else? How do you, does one like yourself stay positive when you hear relentless criticism and second guessing of everything you have worked in your life in regards to expertise and getting to this point? How does one stay positive through all this?
You know, I really do believe that people, when they're anxious or when they're fearful, sometimes they react with this type of lashing out at people, and I'm one of those people. And I also think it's very easy for people from their own perspectives, like some of what we've seen out there, to stand from afar and criticize when they don't actually bear the weight of making the decisions which affect millions of people's lives. So, you know, I have a very strong team that I work with in public health across this province, across this country. And, you know, part of what I do is making sure that I am confident in the data that we have and making sure we have the best information possible from as many different sources as possible. And that's, I guess, all we can do. But, you know, sometimes it weighs on me, absolutely. And we, all of these decisions weigh on me. And knowing what's the best thing to do, it's a very fine line, a very difficult balance to get. And, you know, we try and do the best that we can to walk that balance every day.
Yeah. Well, Dr. Henry, thank you so much for your time today. Enjoy your weekend. I know you had a very busy week. Enjoy your weekend. We'll chat very soon. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.